1 Peter 2:9-12. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.' But you are not that, for you are chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks, Linda. "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Chapter 19 of Leviticus sits at the heart of what scholars call the holiness code, and its central theme is summed up in one repeated command: "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." By chapter 19, the people are at Mount Sinai learning how to live as a distinct community under God's covenant. The laws aren't just religious rituals, they're meant to shape the everyday life of the community. The Holiness Code, which includes the whole of chapters 17 through 26, looks to address every area of life. When it talks about holiness, it doesn't just mean morally pure, but rather that sense of being set apart and reflecting God's character in our worship, our behaviour, our heart for justice, in our family and community life. Leviticus 19 commands Sabbath keeping and avoiding idols. It addresses ethical living, calling us to live with honesty, justice, and fairness, calling us to provide food for the poor and to treat foreigners well. The Holiness Code was designed to push Israel towards a broader, more inclusive ethic than was typical in the ancient world. Ancient Israel, of course, was surrounded by other cultures with differing and varying practices. And so the laws laid down here are looking to create a distinct identity that promotes fairness and compassion and that ties our everyday behaviour, our everyday living, directly to the worship of God. In short, holiness wasn't just about rituals, it was about how people treated one another. It's nearly 4 years since I became vicar here at St Andrews, and in all of those 4 years, I've looked to be consistent in my messaging and in my looking to have spiritual formation as a core discipline, a core priority for us as a church family. Spiritual formation, you might remember, is the process by which we are formed into people of Christ-like love through deepening surrender to and in union with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it remains a core priority because at its heart, spiritual formation draws us to become more holy, to be formed into a people of Christ-like love. It remains a core priority because I believe we are more likely to be the kind of church that God works through precisely when we focus on becoming a holy people rather than focusing on lots of church activity. Let me say that again. It's my belief we're more likely to be the kind of church that God works through precisely when we focus on becoming a holy people rather than merely focusing on lots of church activity. It's potentially counterintuitive. It might go against common sense. But a church that pursues holiness is, I believe, ready to be a church that God moves powerfully in and through. Simply put, churches grow when people are passionate enough about their faith, engaged enough with their friends, their neighbours and their community that their lives, our lives say, come to our church, we'd love to see you. You'd be very welcome here. And so whilst there is a lot of church activity that goes on at St Andrew's, unless it is built on the foundation of the worship and following of Jesus, of us being formed into people of Christ-like love through deepening surrender to and in union with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, I don't think we're going to live up to our potential to be a church that God moves powerfully in and through. In our passage from 1 Peter, he's addressing Christians scattered across parts of modern-day Turkey, encouraging them to remain faithful, to understand who they are in the light of Christ. Using the image of a spiritual house, Christ is described as the living stone, rejected by people, but chosen by God. Believers are like living stones being built into a spiritual temple. In verses 9 to 10, drawing on language that was originally described Israel, Peter now uses those titles to describe the Christian community. They are, he says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Peter shows us a before and after transformation. We were once not a people, but now we are the people of God. We were once without mercy, but now we are recipients of mercy. So here Peter is assuring us of our identity in Christ, and he's giving us a fresh purpose. We are to live faithfully as God's people in a world where we may feel like outsiders. We're called to live in such a way within our culture and community that even in the face of opposition and suffering, people are able to come to a knowledge of God and give him glory. Be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. As I said earlier this morning, today is the day of our APCM, our annual parochial church meeting, a day when we gather to elect our church wardens and our PCC and deanery synod representatives. A day too when we receive reports on the life of the church through this last year. It's a day when we get to celebrate all that is good and all that goes on in the life of St Andrew's, all the ways that we've seen God at work, as Chris prayed, as we've seen his faithfulness. And as usual, and as I've done over the last few years, I'm using this time this morning for my vicar's remarks, because I think they sit better with an act of worship than they do later in the meeting setting. I do hope you've had a chance to read through the 2025 report, because there really is lots to celebrate. I continue to be hugely grateful for all the ways in which so many of us and many of you give your time, gifts, and finances to serve God in this place. I continue to believe that it's in Jesus that we find life, hope, peace, mercy, and purpose. Hopefully that comes as some relief to you. Each one of us is treasured by God and bears his image. And over the last year, I've continued to look to care for, shape, mould, develop all that goes on in the life of St Andrew's, working, as I've said, for St Andrew's to be in good health, better able to live up to our potential to be a church that God moves powerfully in and through. And as I've said this morning, I've continued to look to encourage to ensure that everything St Andrew's undertakes has Jesus as its starting point and as its foundation, always looking to ensure that Jesus is at the centre of our conversations and of our planning. I'm committed to seeing prayer and our being deeply formed disciples of Jesus remain our core priorities, where what we say and what we believe is lived out in our day by day. That we as a church family, as we read in our passage from 1 Peter, live in such a way that people are able to come to a knowledge of God and to give him glory. My main priorities then are to look to provide opportunities for all of us to continue to grow as disciples of Jesus, and that as a church we remain a faithful missional presence within Goldsworth Park, to be a church that's loving God with all our heart and reflecting God's heart to Goldsworth Park and beyond. Another key priority is safeguarding, which is vital gospel work and is all of our responsibility. Working with the PCC, we continue to look to shape a church culture at St Andrew's where safeguarding sits at the core of everything we do. Our priorities of prayer, of formation and discipleship, of mission and community, of children and families, of looking to grow younger as a church family remain unchanged. And over the last year, it's been encouraging to see the fruit that we've seen from our intentional work with young children and families, whether it's through Bump and Beyond, through toddlers, Messy Church, Pancake and Light Parties, as well as within our school's work. I've also been encouraged by where we've seen God at work through a whole variety of ministries that go on week by week, month by month here at St Andrew's. Again, do read the report if you haven't had a chance to yet. Because there is lots to celebrate, but there also remain some challenges. And as we heard recently over the last few weeks, there does remain the challenge of our financial position. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, we're a church that continues to spend more each month than we receive. And this income gap makes planning for the future just that little bit harder. And so in spite of the generosity of the gift day, we've reduced that income gap down to about £2,000 a month from £2,750. And with money received and money promised, we've sort of got £60,000 cash coming in. So we've kicked it down the line, but we've still got this monthly income back gap that we'd love to continue to close. So if you're new to St Andrew's and not yet giving regularly financially, can I ask you to consider what that might look like? If you need some teaching on that, then do go back on our website to a couple of weeks ago to Rob's excellent talk on giving to help you frame how to approach it. Secondly, our heating system in this building, remains life expired. Whilst work on addressing that continues, it may well require significant funding. There's lots of things going on in the background, trying to pull in funding and waiting for this to happen so that that can happen. And there's lots going on, almost unseen. That being said, I'm immensely grateful to the team who have worked tirelessly to see the A2 heating project reach completion early this year, so much so that we are now selling electricity back to the grid. So well done to them. Thank you very much. So the A2 building is now net zero, or almost approaching when we get our contracts with utility companies on board. And so whilst I'm grateful for all those who serve across the life of the church with the fruit we've seen with our work with children and young people over the last 18 months, we really do need people to be willing to serve in and work with our children and youth. Perhaps you noticed the posters as you came upstairs this morning, perhaps not. Obviously, this does need to be done safely and with all the appropriate checks. But this is vital for the life of St Andrew's, both now and into the future. So do please be praying whether God might be calling you to serve in these areas. The children and young people here at St Andrew's are an absolute delight. They're such a blessing to have as part of our family. So can you invest in their lives? And whilst it's a delight that St Andrew's is a church that is missionally focused and outward looking, the challenge remains, I think, for us as to how best to use and allocate our resources to our priority areas and ministries. So if that's something of the challenge, in 5 weeks' time, I have the privilege of taking extended ministerial development leave, more often referred to as a sabbatical. It's a period designed to include a mix of study and learning, spiritual reflection and retreat, rest and refreshment, alongside personal and professional development. As the Diocese of Guildford notes remind me, it is not extra holiday, sick leave or recovery time, nor is it the time to job hunt. Ultimately, its aim is to offer an opportunity to rest, reflect, study and return to ministry renewed and better equipped. 16 years ago, I stood in Wells Cathedral alongside around 14 other people making solemn promises before God, firstly as a deacon and then a year later as a priest, becoming a clerk in holy orders. and I have every intention of keeping the promises I made that day. And as Hebrews reminds us, of running with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And so I'm grateful for this mid-ministry pit stop, for the opportunity to spend time with Jesus without the weight of the parish, and to fix my eyes on Jesus afresh once again. To check in with Jesus, to ensure that I'm becoming the person that he's calling me to become, that I'm being formed into a person of Christ-like love, so that what's up front and centre here is the same as what's backstage. So I'd love you for your prayers, that would be a time of refreshment and renewal for me. I'm especially grateful too to all those who are taking on a bit more over the next couple of months in my absence, the wardens and staff team, as well as the leaders and preachers that serve so faithfully here week by week. As well, I've arranged some outside speakers from within the deanery and the diocese, including Bishop Paul, visiting here on August the 9th. So as I come into land, as Malcolm reminds me, I say, towards the end of the promises in the ordination service, the bishop says to those being ordained, "In the name of our Lord, we bid you remember the greatness of the trust that is now committed to your charge. Remember always with thanksgiving that the treasure now to be entrusted to you is Christ's own flock, bought by the shedding of his blood on the cross. It is to him that you will render account for your stewardship of his people. You cannot bear the weight of this calling in your own strength, but only by the grace and power of God. Pray, therefore, that your heart may daily be enlarged and your understanding of the scriptures enlightened. Pray earnestly for the gift of the Holy Spirit." It remains my privilege to continue to be vicar here at St. Andrew's, looking to care for the treasure that has been entrusted to me in this place and as we do life together. We are here because of God's mercy revealed in Jesus Christ, who he is, and in all that he accomplished for us. As I finish then, and as we read in 1 Peter, remember that you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your neighbours. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Let's be quiet. Heavenly Father, thank you for the treasure that is in this space this morning. Thank you for the lives of faith, the seeking to follow after you. So Jesus, we give thanks for the church family, this church of St. Andrew's, for all that goes on and in and through it. And would you bless us, your people here, equip us for all that you are calling us to, and help us to keep our eyes fixed on you.